The other night at Small Group Ministry, we were reflecting on love, and I wasn't thinking about that verse we just sang, but I said that for me, disappointment is tied up with love. We just sang, "Just as long as my heart beats, I must answer yes to love. Disappointment pierced me through, still I kept on loving you. If they ask what I did best, tell them I said yes to love." If we love people, we are going to be disappointed sometimes. And we are going to disappoint those who love us. You know, it's relatively easy, I think, to tell someone you love them, to send a text or post it on Facebook or even write a card and put it in the mail. What really counts is how you act. Because, you know, sometimes people can even be abusive and still they say, "I love you." But that's not love. And sometimes people offer acts of love that we miss because we don't see them for what they are. A few weeks ago, I got a call from a woman I knew years ago. Our children were in Sunday school together. She'd moved away and we'd lost touch. And she was calling me because her father had died and they needed a minister for the service. And so when I met with her and with her mom, they told me stories. And one they told me was that early on in his marriage, he gave his wife a seatbelt. He installed this seatbelt in her car, they said, and he made her use it. This was way back before hardly anybody knew what seatbelts were, and no manufacturers were installing them in cars back in those days. But he had served in the Navy in World War II and had seen how pilots who were belted in to their planes tended to survive crashes. It just made sense to put them in cars too, he thought. This man was someone who put sunscreen on his kids way before anybody was concerned about skin cancer. And he learned about and encouraged them to eat healthy food before many of us were thinking about that. I don't know if he was always the most fun dad. But at the service, I said to the family, "Can you see that these were some of the ways he showed you that he loved you?" And this is what I want us to reflect on today. Tangible acts of love. The things that we do and that others do as proof of our love. As a preacher, I do believe that words matter. But I also know that talk is cheap. What matters really is showing up. The poet says, "What anyone will remember is that we came." Words are important, yes, but what you do counts way more than what you say. And sometimes we don't even see and appreciate the acts of love that are coming our way. I know a woman who used to get annoyed that when she would get into the car with her husband, he would say, "Buckle your seatbelt." She didn't like him telling her what to do. But one day she said she realized, this is a way that he tells me that he loves me. It may still have annoyed her, but she came to see that this was something he was doing out of love. It was only when the poet Robert Hayden grew up that he came to appreciate his father. And he gave us this poem. Sundays too, my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold. Then with cracked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather, made banked fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering, breaking. When the rooms were warm, he'd call, and slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house. Speaking indifferently to him, who had driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well, what did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? My own father was not the dad that I longed for. He did not show up for us. He did not know how to show up for us in ways that we would have liked. But I try to remember and be grateful for the fact that he never burdened me the way his own father had pressured him to follow in his footsteps. I hope I told my dad that while he was alive, but I'm not certain I ever did. What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? Are there people that love you in ways that are invisible to you most of the time? Would it be useful to spend some time reflecting on this, looking for those acts of love which can be hidden and disguised and easy to miss? And maybe these are the best kind, the acts of devotion that we perform without any expectation of thanks or praise, the things we do because we need to, or because we can, or because we have to, or because we know how needed it is. Trudy Blythe shows up here most every Thursday in the morning, and she folds our orders of service and inserts the bulletin sheets in there. And when she's done, she goes in and cleans out the refrigerator in our little kitchen. Maggie Reeve made soup for Vespers last Wednesday, and there were leftovers, and so she packed it up and put it in the fridge and said, "You all can have this for lunch tomorrow." And we did. Rory Wright came by twice on Thursday, trying to chase down a pesky leak that's somewhere in our water pipes somewhere. Shauna Marion and Chip Curdo and at least one of our teenagers regularly help out washing dishes in our kitchen with Frank Govan. I could go on. We are here, Mother Teresa said, not to do great things, but to do small things with great love. We are here to make love real. And I believe that small things done with love are sacraments, outward and visible signs of the love that is in us and around us. I believe it's helpful to see these acts as holy, to treat them with the reverence they deserve. Right now, our young people are downstairs making sandwiches that will be given to the clients of the drop-in center tomorrow morning. They are cutting the bread and the meat. They are spreading the mustard and the mayo and putting those sandwiches in little plastic bags. And then they'll put them into brown paper bags that our littlest ones will have decorated with drawings and words. Writing about making sandwiches for his daughters, you heard this morning. Andre Debuse, confined to his wheelchair, wrote, "I focus on this. The sandwiches are sacraments. Not the miracle of transubstantiation, but certainly parallel with it, moving in the same direction. If I could give my children my body to eat again and again without losing it, I would do it. My body, like the loaves and fishes, going endlessly into their mouths and stomachs. And each motion is a sacrament," he writes. "This holding of plastic bags, of knives, of bread, of cutting board, this pushing of the chair, this spreading of mustard on bread, this trimming of liverwurst or ham, all sacraments. I drive on the highway to the girls' town, to their school, and this is not simply a transition. It is my love moving by car from a place where my girls are not to a place where they are. Even if I do not feel or acknowledge it, this is a sacrament. If I remember it, then I feel it too. Feeling it does not always mean that I am a happy man driving in traffic. It simply means that I know what I am doing in the presence of God." We're now in the season of Lent. These 40 days to practice opening our hearts. These 40 days to get ready for Easter. May I suggest that you could use this time to seek ways to make love real, to open your heart wider and see the hidden ways that people are trying to love you, and be open to ways that you can share the love you have to give. There are so many ways you could do this. Could be writing letters to implore our leaders to do something about gun violence. It could be accompanying an undocumented immigrant to their ICE hearing. It could be making food or sharing your art or giving someone time and attention. I was a commuter back when I was in divinity school, commuting back and forth to Boston. And I spent a lot of time on the road. One day, my friend Curtis, the monk, he said to me, "You could spend some nights in our monastery guest house and save yourself some driving." So I started spending about one night a week there under their roof. I'd walk over to the monastery after class. It was only about 10 minutes away from where I was in school, usually getting there in time for chapel and then supper. After eating in silence with the monks and the other guests, I'd study in my little room until Compline, the last prayers of the day. I'd make a habit oftentimes of stopping by the little guest house kitchen and grab a cup of tea and maybe a couple of cookies to help with my studying in my little room. But one day I discovered this big glass cookie jar. It was empty. "What's up with that?" I thought to myself. I didn't say it out loud because it's silent there in the monastery. "What's up with that?" I wondered. And then the light bulb went off. Oh, it's Lent. No cookies during Lent. I know that I can be a little serious and earnest sometimes. I imagine that some of you may find my Christianity a little much sometimes. If so, I just want to lift up the fact that on this first Sunday in Lent, we are having Pie Sunday. And I'm not trying to take credit or anything, but it was my idea to have Pie Sunday. It wasn't something I grudgingly went along, so just saying. And I'm not doing this to be intentionally sacrilegious. I'm much too earnest for that. I just don't think religious restrictions around food should be taken that seriously. Isn't it better to take up a practice for Lent rather than forego a cookie here or there? And for me, pie is almost like a sacrament, right? It's this symbol of love and care in such a beautiful and tasty package. A couple of weeks ago at our Thursday lunch, I asked a couple of our bakers who happened to be around the table what pie meant to them. Abby Wirtz said that making pie is something that brings her family together across the generations. For her, Abby says, making pie is all about love. Taffy Jervy said, my mother is with me when I make pie. She said, it lasts forever, this connection. A sacrament is an outward and visible sign, a physical and tangible symbol that you can touch and taste and see. And this touching and tasting and seeing reminds you that life is holy and good. Who among us doesn't need that reminder? So in these days, whether you are making sandwiches for your children or for people in need, or baking pies or washing dishes, or lighting candles for school children who have been killed, will you please remember that you are love made real in the world, and that what you do in love is a sacrament, that you are doing this in the presence of the holy, and it is good. It is a blessing. Amen.